Well, let's start with this. Yesterday was National Signing Day, and a ton of new Redbirds signed. But I think what we really have got to focus on is this recruiting class from Illinois State, as they are currently ranked, according to 247 Sports, is that correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
247 Sports has the Illinois State Redbirds as the 60th best recruiting class in the entire country. That's ahead of some crazy college teams like that have had perennial success over the last few years, including Texas, Creighton. But Coach Peden got to work, and he signed four new freshmen, and I have all their names right here. Nick Allen from Bradley, Illinois. Isaac Erickson from Cary, North Carolina. Tyreek Coleman from Aurora, Illinois. And Mason Calabo from Fargo, North Dakota. So just an incredible day for Coach Peden as they just continue to get really good prospects through National Signing Day.
Yeah, Peden's has really been killing it in the recruiting portal these past couple of years. Like, we've seen these younger guys, they just make impacts right away, like Johnny Kinzinger, Chase Walker, just to name a few. But it's just an incredible class, and for Coach Peden to also be pulling guys that just aren't even local, like North Dakota and North Carolina, how are we convincing these guys to come to Bloomington, Normal, Illinois? And all that credit has to go to Coach Peden and the work he's putting in. And hey, 2 3-stars, and it's only November. Like, Coach Peden, he's making a statement early on for the future of this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, you could just tell Peden set a culture ever since he stepped foot at ISU, because they've gotten so much more talent as time's gone by, but now you're seeing them recruit out of state, like you said, and that's really huge for an MVC team that you don't really see that often. And with this guy doing that while you're having pretty high expectations for this team this year, you're setting up a culture that's very, very successful for your future.
I mean, Coach Peden said it best when he came here. His goal wasn't to win games. His goal is to win championships. And you got to build that identity through a family. And he's really been able to implement that so far.
Plenty of new faces across Redbird Nation, and only more to come, as it's just the first signing day of the year. But a really good start for Coach Peden. And last time we talked, it wasn't such a good start for this men's basketball team. But boy, have they turned it around. Two big wins. And they beat North Dakota State last week. But we can really more focus on this win on Tuesday night against Ohio, as the Redbirds end up getting an 85-75 win over the Ohio Bobcats. Redbirds now 2-1 in the season, and man, are they looking good.
Yeah, this team just has a whole new identity. Like, if this team played UT Martin tomorrow, they would win by 30 points. I'm like that convinced, because they finally found a way to attack the rim. They're not just chucking up three-pointers, 41. They're able to get to the rim. Dalton Banks had a career day, scoring a career-high 23 points. And this Ohio team was the preseason favorites to win the MAC.
Yeah.
And we went out there and beat them by 10. That was just an incredible statement, and I have so much high praise for this team, but we would talk more than 15 minutes. It was just me yapping about what I love about these guys.
Yeah, I mean, once you don't shoot 41 threes a game, you could just kind of tell what team you're actually going to be, because this team really like you said, they really stepped foot against the rim this whole entire game, and pretty much making your own statement inside the rim, it opens up the threes as well, and you could just kind of tell that as time went by, they started shooting a little bit more threes, but I like their game plan this one around, and actually like going to the rim more and actually drawing fouls the whole time.
Yeah, because there was more of a game plan this one. It wasn't just like chucking with the best and just hoping it would eventually fall in. Like, they were attacking the rim, as you said, and then they would dish out and find the openings. That's why they were more efficient. I want to say they shot like 53 or 54% from the three-point line. Yeah, you're not shooting as many three-pointers, but that's quite the improvement from opening night. It's just when you're taking unforced three-point shots, just looks like a much better team.
Especially against a MAC team, too, I would say, because, yes, it'll be pretty good wins in the MVC, but you're going against a MAC team that, like you said, they're supposed to win it all this year in the MAC, too. And that was just drive so much more confidence into this young team with a lot of more transfers. Their chemistry hasn't been that good yet because they got a lot of new guys now. And winning a game against a MAC team like that will set your future so much farther ahead than you really thought you were going to begin the season.
If you want up-to-date coverage on the Illinois State Redbirds, a great follow right now on Twitter, X, whatever it might be, is Joey LeMaster to my right. So if you want to plug that Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitter handle is going to be TM LeMaster. Joseph's the Instagram, but okay. Twitter is TM LeMaster. I go to every men's home game. Yeah. I tweet throughout the game. I tweet the final score. I tweet my takeaways. There's so much I can say about this team. So if you want that, so you don't have to hear it all on air, just plug it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see that. And someone you mentioned in your tweet that I really want to touch on is he's just been, I think, the highlight of the season thus far. You know, we've seen that first game, we saw a great game out of Dougherty. The second game, this is what I'm going to touch on in a second, we saw a great game out of Dalton Banks. But I think so far, like, as we look forward to this season, a player that we hyped up so much last year and just felt like he was never comfortable was Ty Pence. As we're really moving through three games this year, he seems to be more comfortable than just about any Redbird on that floor.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, he originally came in as a guard, and Peden's kind of implemented him more as like a three or a four, just more of a forward, and it's just been crucial for him. I mean, outside of Banks' performance yesterday, Pence has been the best at getting to the rim. He just drives there at will. He's a hustler. He dives for everything, and he's emerged as in that role. I mean, we're three games into the season. I mean, he broke this against North Dakota State, where he scored more points this season than he already has last season, and that was just two games.
Yeah.
So he just has had a massive emergence, and I think that's huge, but I still do have my questions just because, like, we gotta figure out when Bowden Skunberg and Brandon Lieber are gonna come back. I'm kind of worried to see how long his minutes are gonna last, but he is fighting to keep those minutes on his side right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Ty Pence is kind of taking that Kendall Lewis role this year, been the guy more on the inside. You could give the ball to him on the perimeter, but he's gonna be mainly on the inside, drawing more fouls. And I feel like that's kind of more where his game is kind of paced in college basketball nowadays, because he does have an outside shot, but his driving talent is so much better than his outside shot right now, and that'll all keep progressing throughout the season.
And I do see that Kendall Lewis role similar. I'm a big fan of the comment you just said, but I can definitely trust his three-point shot more. So he's going to be a massive thing for Peden's building.
Is there anyone that we haven't seen yet, Joey, that, like, or not, as I guess you could say, like, haven't seen in a bigger role, similar to what we saw with Kinzinger last year, how, you know, Johnny got some minutes at the beginning of the year, but it was like a slow development thing where it was just like all of a sudden, bang, he was – you know, the star of the team. Not saying that there's going to be anyone that is the star of the team, but someone that I feel like we haven't seen enough of that will eventually become even more in tune in this offense.
Well, there's two names. The first one I want to say is Cameron Barnes. Cameron Barnes is literally just the pit bull waiting in the cage to be, like, released. I mean, he's 6'10", about 210 in weight. He can play the 1 through 5. Like, against North Dakota State, we played him at the center. Like, that's crazy. He's not the biggest. I mean, he's huge height-wise, but he doesn't have much weight against him. He can do everything. He can shoot. He can attack the rim. He can defend the perimeter. Does a little bit of everything. So I'm waiting for him to get released when he's more comfortable with the team. But looks like it's going to be Jack Doherty. I mean, we saw opening night. He went 4-for-4 right off the bat before he ended up missing a couple. He's just, that's a guy that can get hot real quick, and if Coach Peden gives him that chance, he's going to capitalize on it, because Peden talks about how this is the most confident freshman he's ever had on his team.
Yeah, to me, I would probably say Cam Barnes, because he came for Ole Miss. He came to be at a school that he's going to get more tick and more time at, and I'm just really waiting for him to play now, because he does have, like, that NBA sort of build, like that more modern-day type of build where he's more athletic, more of a slasher, and I think he could work really well this team.
Yeah, because you can teach a lot of things to these players. You just can't teach what Cam Barnes has. Cam Barnes has a gift. He does. These 6'10 stretch forwards are literally what prospects are looking for, and Cameron Barnes is just oozing with potential. And if Peden can somehow fit this into a system, Illinois State's going to be a problem in the Valley.
The Redbirds will take on Trinity Christian College this Sunday. Pretty sure they're a D3 school. It's going to be a doubleheader on Sunday with the women's taking on Lemoyne, and then after that, the men's taking on Trinity Christian. So make sure to tune into WZND. I will be on that call for the men's basketball game, so make sure you tune into that one. All right, let's head over, while we're wrapping up here on all the Redbirds, let's head over to football really quick, as they have extended their winning streak to 3 after a 31-9 win over Northern Iowa. They are 7-3 on the season, 4-2 in conference, and have two games left, one against Indiana State and one against a pretty tough North Dakota team. But really, I think all eyes right now is getting in the playoffs, and from what I've heard, all they need is one more, and they are essentially a lock to get a playoff game.
Well, yeah, this one's going to be huge. I mean, Indiana State's about to be as easy as it gets. They got one or two wins on the season. Should not be too challenging, even though it's an away game. This isn't the same North Dakota team that we've seen in the past. They lost to Youngstown State, who we were able to beat convincingly until the fourth quarter. So these could be two wins, and one win gets you in, but two wins, and you're going to be in a much better placement. So I think Illinois State should not be focused on getting one and then being like, yay, we're in. They got to be focused on getting two wins and having all the momentum heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a very important time where you do need both wins, but you got to go week by week and just try to first win this first game, because we've seen some trap games this year. Like, not every single game is going to be easy here or now, and especially in this time, if a team's not that good this year, they're going to be trying to win to beat out another team and just ruin the rest of their season. So you just got to be ready for all of that.
Yeah, people like to thrive off winning, but I'm telling you, when someone is just trying to win just out of hatred and spite, that's the scariest team you can go against. And that's what Illinois State could be going against this weekend.
It's been pretty much pure domination from these Redbirds, just really since the start of this three-game winning streak. And I think the biggest thing of it all is we had so many conversations when this show first started with just the three of us. But, yeah, it's Tommy Rittenhouse's team. Now, Jake Rubley did go 1-for-1 with a 41-yard completion, so I'm assuming that was part of the playbook. But Tommy Rittenhouse, 22-for-29, 251 yards. Winker's right, 21 attempts, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think that's the biggest thing of it all. We knew that what this defense was going into this year, and they obviously had some injuries early on. Amir Abdullah is obviously back, but really just the fact that, you know, this offense is clicking at the right time too. And I think that's really what you want, you know, potentially heading into a playoff game. And I think that's the positive thing for Illinois State too. They're probably not going to get a home game just because of the fact of not only that they dropped a couple games they probably should have won, and also taking in the fact that IHSA is here that week that they would host a playoff game. But I think the fact that this offense is really starting to click just at the right time, right before you head into playoffs, I don't think there's anything more that you want than that.
Not at all, because the big question kind of heading into the season outside of the quarterback battle, you know, I'm going to be talking about quarterbacks, was how is Tommy Rittenhouse going to develop this season? Was he just going to continue to be a guy that can only scramble, or is he going to get some pocket awareness and be able to trust himself there? And he can trust himself in the pocket. He's looked incredible. He's looking at all of his options. He's making the correct read while still finding the ability to scramble. And if you have a quarterback that can give you the best of both worlds like that, the offense is going to click and be so unpredictable, and just Illinois State success has to come down to Tommy Rittenhouse's development.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in the beginning of the season, beginning of Red Zone 2. We just really wanted to see Tommy develop more as a passer because we knew what he could do with his legs. And it's really that important in the season where we just finally can see what he can really do now. And like you said, Ben, this is the most important time of the season, and it's right now where he really needs to lock in and the rest of the team needs to lock in.
Once again, the Redbirds this weekend will head to Indiana State. And as you said, that Indiana State team has not been too good this year. And then they'll take on a tough North Dakota team on Saturday, November 23rd, which will be senior day for the Redbirds. So once again, it really only feels like one and you're in. But if you somehow manage to take out both these wins, get on the board, you're putting yourself for in a prime position for the playoffs. We'll continue to follow them throughout the week and as we move forward here on the Red Zone. But when we come back, we're going to talk some IHSA, more specifically Normal Community, here on the Red Zone. WZND back here on the Red Zone, and we're going to talk some high school football today as once again Coach Jason Drangwitz of Normal Community followed up with us after a couple of weeks ago. He sat down with one of our interns, Liam Lyons, who has been covering high school football all year long. Coach Jason Drangwitz decided to sit down with him, have a phone call interview to preview his game against Mount Carmel. Now, if you don't know about Mount Carmel is one of the powerhouses of Illinois high school football. And obviously it's important around here these days because of the fact that we actually host the IHSA football state championship. But once again, Normal Community 10-1 against Chicago Mount Carmel 8-3. It's going to be a great game, and Normal Community trying to extend their season. So let's hear from Liam Lyons and Coach Jason Drangwitz on this upcoming game between Normal Community and Mount Carmel.
Congratulations, Coach, on the first two wins against West Chicago and Prospect. You guys play Mount Carmel this Saturday. So before we get into the game against Mount Carmel, preview of that, what has helped Normal Community get past these first two games? Like, what really helped you get past West Chicago and Prospect?
Well, Liam, I think it just goes back to the weeks of practice we had leading up to the games. You know, we had excellent days. We were able to stack multiple days of good practice together and continue to improve. I thought round one of the playoffs, we were a better version of ourselves than we were week nine. And then against Prospect, I thought we were a better version of ourselves than we were against West Chicago. And on top of that, to win games in the postseason, you know, all three phases got to contribute to the victory, which we've been doing in both games. And then finally, I think, you know, your dude's got to play, and our best players played at a really high level in both games. And we also had some unknown guys step up. Not necessarily unknown guys, but guys maybe in a more, you know, secondary role have great games. We had some guys thrown into the mix and starting positions that they hadn't really been all year, and they really rose to the occasion. So I think any time you can have great weeks of practice, you can improve from one week to the next, have your really good players play really well, and have other guys step up, that's typically a good recipe to be successful in football.
So you mentioned all three phases, and especially in the playoffs, that really goes a long way. So, and that is, obviously the playoffs, anything can happen. Seeding doesn't really matter. It really comes down just to the game itself. Would you say in either of these two games there was a key play or moment that really kind of pulled you guys forward? Like, was there something at halftime that you guys were adjusting, or was there like a play or two? What really was something that like stood out to you in these first two matchups?
It's hard to pinpoint, you know, one really in each. You know, if I had to, you know, against West Chicago, we opened the game returning a kick for a touchdown and got the lead early, which I thought was really important against West Chicago and how they run the triple option. And you want to get them playing from behind because their offense really isn't designed to score quickly. And then against Prospect, you know, we started fast to begin the first half. You know, and then they really kind of dominated the second quarter, but we started fast and scored on our first drive of the third quarter of the second half. I thought that was big. But probably more than anything, just against Prospect, was just our kids willing to, you know, answer the bell and respond and keep playing. You know, we'd score, they'd score, we'd score, they scored. I thought that was, you know, all instrumental and extremely important to the victory.
So as we kind of look forward, this week actually, you guys play Mount Carmel of Chicago. They're a team that's pretty well known. I mean, they won state last year. They're from the Catholic League in Chicago. You guys are making a road trip. So if I could ask you, what would you say is different from the style of play that Mount Carmel brings to the style of play that you guys normally usually bring?
Well, that's a hard question to ask. I think we're both physical. What they bring to the party is, to the table, is they just play with such an extreme sense of confidence based on all the success they have, how battle-tested they are throughout the year playing in that amazingly tough conference. And then you combine that with, you know, really talented players and great coaches. It's a good recipe for them to be successful. They have, you know, outstanding size and on the O-line, the D-line. You know, that's similar to us. I like to feel like we've got some really talented players and our coaches do a great job. You know, we don't play quite the regular season schedule, but both teams rely on their best players really playing well to propel them to victory, and I would say we're both similar in that. You know, our quarterback's got to play well, their quarterback's got to play well, the receivers got to play well up front. Both very similar that way.
So, I guess that kind of leads off into one of my other questions previewing this game. So, you mentioned both quarterbacks got to play well. It's going to be a battle up front. Are you guys really focusing more on their quarterback, or do you guys like, or what about the receivers? What's some of your defenses kind of looking at this week when you look at Mount Carmel?
Well, I think they're, you know, all their players are good there. That's why they're back-to-back defending state champions. I think it all starts and stops offensively for them with their quarterback, Jack Elliott, who's going to Vanderbilt. He's a special talent. He can run, he can throw. You know, we got to be able to keep him in check. I mean, I don't think you're going to completely be able to stop him, but you got to try to eliminate his ability to make big plays. You know, number four is a really talented wide receiver that can really make plays with the ball in his hands. So we got to always know where he is and be locked into the game plan and coverages based on that. I think more than anything offensively, we got to be locked in to be able to handle them up front. I think if they defend us the way I would expect them to do, you know, if we can find ways to run the ball against the front, I think that'll be, you know, give us a chance to be successful. And then finally, I just say when we have opportunities to, you know, to hit in the passing game, we got to hit. We can't miss. We got to take advantage of those opportunities.
And one final question I have for you regarding this game, Coach. I know that this is your guys's, I believe it's your first game on the road. Am I correct for the playoffs this year?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Yeah, so your first game on the road, and Mount Carmel, obviously, a bit of a ways from normal community. So do you guys know if you guys are planning on doing, like, the fan buses and stuff like that? I know, like, a lot of schools like to do that when they go on their first big road trip for the playoffs. Do you guys have anything planned like that for the fans, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, so first I'd say for us as a team, we're having a team, like, breakfast, well, brunch, really, at 10:30, and then we're getting on the road about 11:45. Trying to get up there between, you know, 2:15 and 2:30, depending upon traffic. We are taking a fan bus, but I couldn't tell you how many people are on, if anybody signed up to go with it, but that is the plan, and we'll see, and hopefully we'll, you know, hopefully we'll travel and have a big crowd there to root us on and give us some energy and juice that you always need to be successful on the road.
All right, so, Coach, yeah, so Saturday, against Mount Carmel, 5 o'clock. Want to wish you the best of luck. I really appreciate you taking the time for this interview again. And if you got anything else to say before we conclude, now's your time.
Yeah, just hope people come up there and watch us play. It should be a great night of football. Hopefully we can put on a show that people like. And then just to you, Liam, I just appreciate you taking the time to cover our program and our team. Just another example of guys doing a great thing to make high school athletics and high school athletes here in Central Illinois feel special. So.
Once again, that was Coach Jason Drangwitz of Normal Community. If you didn't catch it during that interview, they will be at Mount Carmel this Saturday at 5 p.m. Once again, the all and mighty Chicago Mount Carmel. I've had plenty of appearances with them as I went to St. Lawrence, but Mount Carmel, Normal Community trying to pull off what would seem like an upset if they manage to pull this one off. So once again, this Saturday at 5 p.m. in Chicago at Mount Carmel. Good luck to Normal Community as they continue their run for a state championship. WZND back here on the Red Zone as we head into week 11 of the NFL. We want to really just take a deeper dive into it. We obviously pick every single week six games for the NFL, but I mean, there's a lot that's happened this year. We've talked about the Bears a little bit and their whole situation that's gotten even worse since the last time we talked about them.
Yeah.
But in general, we're not just going to sit here and talk about the Bears for 15 minutes. We're going to try and cover all of our bases really across the NFL. And I think the best place to start, and we've been talking about them really all year, is the defending back-to-back champions in the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about them a little later once we get to pick six, but Kansas City Chiefs, 9-0, and it hasn't been like a dominating 9-0. It's just been, we find ways to win games no matter what, and that's what they've been doing. They just nearly snuck out a win last week. Huge special teams. The Broncos were lining up to kick the game-winning field goal, and sure enough, the Chiefs, as they've been calling it, devil magic, comes through again, and they got this 9-0 start, and it's nothing short of impressive.
Yeah, to me, the scariest thing about this team is that Patrick Mahomes hasn't had that good of a season yet, and you just know that one day he's going to come back and be like the MVP caliber player like he always is. And it's pretty hard to just like kind of determine how far this team will go just because of the bend don't break theory. It's kind of like been going on with their team all year. But to me, this team does look like they could three-peat, and it just really seems like they're just growing more and more as a team every single week, and their defense is just insane right now.
I mean, I don't want to give predictions or nothing, but I think they're going to go undefeated till the big game, and then they're going to lose to a certain team that wears blue and gray, but that's a conversation for another day. It just seems very fitting. But, yeah, it's just Ben said it best. I was going to say voodoo magic, but it's pretty much the same thing. As even when this team's supposed to lose, they just win. How they do it, I have no idea. But the defense there, they always show up when it matters. And it's just Mahomes and Kelce. We're going to Mahomes and Kelce. It's just they just got a special tandem that not many people can match up with.
And the craziest part about this entire situation, too, with them is the fact that, you know, Rashee Rice was looking to be one of the best receivers in football this year. Like, the way that everything, you know, the pace was going for him. Yeah. And he suffered a devastating injury. They lost their star running back, Pacheco, in week three. And they've just managed to replace those guys with old vets. And Kareem Hunt, they called up an old friend and say, hey, let's come play for us again. And he's like, all right. And he's been one of the best running backs in football over the last couple weeks since he's played. I know Pacheco's nearing a return. But then they go out there and get one of the former best wide receivers in football in DeAndre Hopkins. And it's like all of a sudden he's his old self again. But I know, Joey, you just kind of predicted it. You're thinking 17-0. I think their biggest challenge is coming up this week in the Buffalo Bills. And we'll talk about that a little later on pick six. But if they could get past Buffalo, 17-0 looks extremely likely. With really their only tough parts of the schedule, I guess you could say the Chargers, as they've been solid. The Texans, of course, Steelers, and then I would say the Broncos again, but who knows if the Broncos continue to keep up what they've been doing. But I don't think 17-0 is out of the picture.
Oh, not at all. But if there is any team that's going to do it, it's just Josh Allen. I'm not going to say it's going to be the Bills. Just if there's a game for Josh Allen to show out and get that big win, he just loves hooping against Kansas City. And with like all the times he's just fallen short in the playoffs, I know just breaking their undefeated record would just do wonders for him and the team.
I feel like every single week we've had, we're just kind of like, this could be the week they're going to lose, but it's just like, I don't think they're ever going to lose the whole season, honestly, now, except for maybe in the playoffs. But this team has just been so great. Right now, you can't really determine if they're going to lose or not.
Yeah, and we had a big point come in from my father, Jack LeMaster, who said, quote, don't forget the refs cheat for KC. So we just got to make sure to bring that one up on air.
Oh, man. Thank you for your input. That was awesome. And, yeah, they're, you know, sometimes they do get the calls. He once again, Patrick Mahomes is becoming Tom Brady, and we know about that.
Yeah. You've been saying it.
I've been saying it. I want to talk about a team in the NFC, and you mentioned them earlier. Steve would love this right now if he's listening. The Detroit Lions. It is nothing short of incredible what they've been able to do. They lost to the Buccaneers early in the season, 20-16, but it's just been win after win after win. They are now after their victory on Sunday night, they've extended their winning streak to 7, and that is a game where their quarterback, Jared Goff, threw 5 interceptions, and their kicker, who they just picked up the street a couple weeks ago, just manages to squeak it through. I don't even think you could put a piece of paper between the ball and the goalpost. But Lions, it's similar to what the Chiefs are doing, but as I say, I think we've been saying it all year long, it feels like Team of Destiny.
Yeah, Ben, you've been saying it's a team of destiny, and I did not believe you until I watched that game. When they were down 19, Goff has thrown his 5th interception, and CJ Stroud is still stinking the bed, and they still somehow found a way to win this game. I think we're starting to get to the point where they might also have this Chiefs devil magic, in quotations, if that's what we want to call it, because they had no right winning that game at all. And the fact they found a way to do it, because Stroud, he had a chance to make it like a multiple score game, like more than 19, because like he had a receiver wide open in the end zone, and he just threw a floating duck for the Detroit to pick off for the second time. And like, they just find ways to win games. It's impressive. I mean, you gotta hand it off to Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, this team completely turned it around a few years ago. Once they traded Matt Stafford away, you could just kind of tell that they had like a new sense of just like trying to win now. And like, Detroit's always been, our whole lives, Detroit has been really bad.
Yeah,
and we just have never seen a good team like this with Detroit. But this team just feels so much different from other good teams we've seen that have just like kind of just struck out of nowhere. And I feel like every single part of their team, whether it be defense, offense, special teams, coaching, everything is just so good right now with them.
I just go back to, I think like Dan Campbell's first year. It was also Goff's first year. It was right after they traded Stafford. And did Stafford, correct me if I'm wrong, they went on to win the championship year one with Stafford,
yep.
Correct? Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I mean, Detroit's down. They just lost their franchise quarterback. Goff can't find ways to win games. They're losing games. There was that viral video of his girlfriend on the beach when they won that first game finally, and she was so happy. And I just remember that. And it feels like, you know, I think they only got like 3 or 4 wins that year. But that one win, when they finally won it after just loss after loss after loss, that feels like when all of a sudden everything turned in Detroit. And it's like, you know, they're back. I think the year after that, they went 9-8, just missed out on the playoffs because the Packers knocked them out. That was Rodgers last year. And we obviously know what happened last year with the Lions winning their first division championship in, like, I don't even know, 30, 40 years, whatever it might have been. But it as Julian kind of said, it feels like they've been bad forever, even the Stafford years. But something about it, the tides are turning, and Detroit is one of the most fun stories in football.
Yeah, I want to touch on that losing streak you were talking about, Ben, because even when they were losing, I don't think there was anybody in Detroit's like, oh, we want to get rid of Dan Campbell. This isn't the guy. It's just the way he talks. Like, he just brought a personality and identity that this team had not had for maybe forever, and he just finally brought the group together. But Julian was also talking about what makes Detroit big, and I think he forgot one point. It's what Bill Belichick has been preaching every single day. This team started building in the trenches. It wasn't about getting stars. They were drafting Penei Sewell. They got Frank Ragnow. Like, they built from the trenches, and now they just have this powerhouse that can't be stopped.
Yeah, I feel like that Rams trade with them was the most fair trade in NFL history, possibly.
No question.
Yes, the Rams got a championship out of it, but Detroit just built their whole entire franchise from the ground up with that same exact trade, because who they get in that? They got Aiden Hutchinson, then they got, who were they getting that other? I don't know who they got in the other pick, but it was also somebody very important they needed too. And they've just been building through the draft. They don't have any really big free agent signings, but the guy
Jahmyr
that they
Gibbs.
Had, Jahmyr Gibbs with the other pick. Yeah, that their free agency signings have been pretty much nothing. Nobody crazy. They built through the draft. Amon Ra was taking like the third or fourth round too. So this team has just been growing so much throughout the years. And I think their drafting will only get better from here on out.
I'll, like, pass it around to you guys. Is there, like, a specific team that you want to touch on, whether it's the good, like, they've been impressing you all season long and you just want to have a soapbox about it, or a team that has just drastically let you down?
I want to start first because, like, I'm not going to talk about the Bears, but it's sad being a Bears fan. Like, I always think, like, oh, we have the worst situation in the world. No one can have as bad as us. And then I look over to New York and I see the Jets. I'm like, thank you for being the worst thing in the league so I know we aren't the worst scenario. Because, oh my God, they suck. They're terrible. And it's not even like they're terrible, like they're tanking. They went all in. This must be the Super Bowl year or the big championship win. People thought they were going to finally win the big game. And guess what? They're not going to have a chance. They're playing for Cam Ward right now. Like, what a letdown that is for the New York Jets.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, you'd never really just think that this type of team would be that bad. Because Aaron Rodgers has never really had, like, a really bad losing season, but him himself has not really played all that great this year. You look at them, and they got Davante Adams, his best buddy. They still can't win anything. Their defense was top of the whole league last year. Still can't do anything. So I think, like, does it come down to coaching, or Sally is gone, and the new guy sucks too. So it just really goes down to the ownership, in my opinion.
It's a move. They invested all these chips in Aaron Rodgers. And I think at the time, it was the right move. I think maybe things go a little bit different if he doesn't blow up his Achilles 3 plays into the season last year. But it's a move that you know you're taking a risk with trading for a guy that's 39 years old at the time. And to say that it's probably the way that it's going, I'm assuming Aaron Rodgers is going to come back for another year. But unless he somehow wins a championship with his team, I think it's was probably one of the biggest mistakes that a franchise could ever make. And it's setting up the Jets to be set back multiple years, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's just the most New York Jets thing to happen. I mean, because, like, when they get this top pick, like, I don't even know what they're going to do with it. Like, I don't know what the future holds for this team. And with, like, 42-year-old Rodgers, this reminds me, like, when the Brooklyn Nets, like, went all in for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And look how far that set them back. And the Jets, they've already been set back. And they're just going to keep going farther and farther into the abyss.
Yeah, I kind of want to touch on the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. Can we really just say that this team is elite and this team is actually, like, a playoff not even just a playoff contender, but a championship contender?
100%. I've like, weirdly bought in on them. Like, I've never been the biggest Steelers fan in the past. And, like, at the beginning of the year, whenever they get a primetime game, I'm like, oh, man. Like, yeah. Common, just casual Steeler football. No, this is, like, Steeler football. Like, yes, they've always played the Mike Tomlin way. But it feels like, and I feel like we were too young at the time, but they're winning games like how they used to with Big Ben. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they don't have the weapons of, like, when we were younger, like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and just the difference that was there. But I'm going back to, like, when Big Ben was, like, won his first championship. And it's just, I think we ridiculed them at the time when they made the move for Justin Fields. And I think that was just us being salty Bears fans, because a sixth is much different than a fourth round pick. But, you know, they really ended up making the right move with this Russell Wilson thing. And I think it's gone so well for them that they haven't lost since he's become the quarterback of the team. And I think as cringe as he is and he's a cornball, but I mean, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in football over the last couple of weeks. And, it's just impressive. And I think it's even cool for him too, because he kind of gets to write off that narrative of everything that happened in Denver with him over the last couple of years.
And you kind of talked about it last week, but we've also seen a resurgence for Najee Harris.
Yeah.
Like, we thought Najee Harris was just useless, if we're being, like, somewhat nice about it. We could say a lot more mean ways to put it, but, like, Najee Harris has looked like the Alabama running back that we all adored. He's been incredible, and they've made moves to write the trade deadline to build up this team. I think you can make an argument this is the best defense in the NFL as well. Like the Steelers, they just have everything going for them with an elite head coach as well. And if Mike Tomlin gets a championship, where are we ranking him all time?
I think right now, you still got to put him top, at least top 10.
It's a,
right now, I think he might, I would argue him top 5 right now.
And the funny thing is like, if he wins another one, Mike Tomlin's still like young enough. Like, mm-hmm. if he wins another one at some point in his career, I don't think the Steelers will ever do away with him unless like a Sean Payton situation happens where he's like, you know what, I want to go somewhere else.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I would say in terms of the AFC teams right now, how I look at it, and the AFC I look at and it feels weak. I would say like 1A is easily the Chiefs. I think we could all agree on that. 1B, the Ravens, just how they've been playing football. And I would say 1C, it's like at this point, it's like a tie between Buffalo and Pittsburgh. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but it's just the way that Pittsburgh, just their defense dominates and defense wins championships. We've seen it. The Chiefs, as much as we talk about Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, the biggest reason that they've won championships over the last two seasons has been the defense has been just as crucial as Pat Mahomes has.
Yeah, to me, a big thing about this team and what makes them different this year versus just like every other year that they have a quarterback now. And yes, everybody knows that, but they have a quarterback that's won a championship before.
Yeah.
And he just knows how to win in the playoffs as well because he's been there a couple times. He's been pretty much against a GOAT, against Tom Brady, and yes, he lost that very, very, very bad play, but that team was this. This team right now just really feels different because he's also unlocked George Pickens' ability too. And now he really looks like an X receiver. And having a receiver like that for him, and Mike Williams is also a great pickup for them. They have receivers that Russell Wilson needs because he has a great deep ball. He's not really that big of a, like a intermediate thrower. He's a deep ball thrower and he's always been great at that. And when you have two guys like George Pickens and Mike Williams to throw it up, I think this team's going to be very good for the rest of the year.
One more team before we go to break that I want to mention, and we're going to actually see them tonight. The narrative is all of a sudden flipped in Philadelphia. After, week 4, they were 2-2. The city was on fire. Sirianni's seat was hotter than it could ever be. But they've quietly won 5 games in a row. And, you know, I just think we talked about it at the beginning of the year. I think we both predicted them to go to the Eagles, go to the championship. They had a colossal fall off last year. We all remember what happened last year after what they went. They started the season like 10-1 or something like that. It was something crazy, and then they lost like the next 6 games. So that could always happen. But this team's playing well, and they are obviously getting a run for their money from the Commanders. But I would say if you're going to trust a team to win the NFC East, it's got to be the Eagles, right?
I think I'd say it with 100% confidence still, because like, the Commanders are hot. Like, they're a great team, even though they just went against that Pittsburgh battle. But I would still say the Eagles are my favorite. It's just when you have Saquon Barkley in the backfield doing like 360 cartwheel no scopes over defenders, it's like, yeah, you can pretty much do whatever on the offensive side of the ball. He's not real.
Yeah, I mean, this team right now, to me, they're kind of progressing exactly how they're supposed to at this point of the year, trying to make more of a playoff push. Because yes, the Commanders have been very good right now, but they do have a rookie quarterback. And rookie quarterbacks in the second half of the year, teams figure them out, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles right now, they have a really good defense. Their corners are playing really well. DeJean's been great right now. Quinion Mitchell's been great. So they're going to really have to – Jaden Daniels is going to have to be really trusted in this one and in the rest of their season, too. And I think the Eagles still could make the championship.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And I saw something the other day on Twitter. It was like, step aside, Shohei Ohtani. Jalen Hurts is going for the 2020
season. That made
season.
Me throw up.
Yeah, it was bad. That's but horrible. It was an Eagles fan. He was like, Jalen Hurts going for the 2020 season. 20 passing touchdowns, 20 rushing touchdowns. We might need to look at the tush push after
yeah,
this season.
Maybe.
When we come back, we're going to do pick 6 in the NFL back here on the Red Zone. Going to do where we take a look at 6 games in the NFL for the week and pick 6 games. So this week, we'll start with Thursday Night Football, a team that we just talked about, the Commanders and the Eagles. 2 teams, once again, this is a fight for first place in the NFC East between 2 teams. One, the Eagles, who we just talked about. Team that has played very phenomenal, 5-game winning streak. Meanwhile, the Commanders obviously behind Rookie of the Year favorite Jaden Daniels. It's going to be an interesting one here today.
Yeah, this is just going to be fun offense. I'm excited to see both teams go at this, but I'm going to be riding with the Philadelphia Eagles today. I think momentum's on their side, and it's a high-stakes game for Jaden Daniels. He just got some tough experience against Pittsburgh, but I don't expect him to fully bounce back from that just yet. Let me ride with the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles in this one as well. I think that this is going to be their game where they're going to try to flip around their season. And going against a Commanders team that's been very hot this whole year, they just lost last week against Pittsburgh, and that could really have derailed their team with a rookie quarterback. And I'm just really expecting Jalen Hurts to really come back into the type of player we can see him being.
Steve picked the Eagles. Meanwhile, our guest picker this week, she's not here in studio, but she made the picks for us. It is our Ensad, Lauren Leisure. She's actually going with the Commanders. I was just hyping up the Eagles that entire last segment of the show. I think I'm going to have to stick that way. I'm going to lean the Eagles on this one because I just love the way they've been playing. Saquon Barkley, probably one of the we're super late in the season, but he's in a battle right now with Derrick Henry for Offensive Player of the Year. The defense is playing well, and I don't know, it just feels like this is a game the Eagles need. They need to prove that they are the best in the NFC East. And the Commander story is still very fun. I just think the Eagles are a better team than them personally. All right, let's go to the next game. I have a feeling we're all going to go in the same direction on this one. The Packers and the Bears. The Bears, it is almost like we've waved the white flag in Chicago. They're now a game under 500. They just put up 3 points against one of the worst teams in the NFL, but frankly, I think they might be one of the worst teams in the NFL, especially over the last 3 weeks, obviously. Meanwhile, the Packers, coming off a bye but loss to the Detroit Lions. We know how the Packers have been playing this year. They've been solid all year long. Nothing to complain about, but it just feels like everyone kind of knows where this game's going, right? Unless Joey throws a curveball my way.
Well, I am. I'm going to make some red zone history, and I'm just going to void my pick. I'm actually not picking this week for this game, and I'm just going to take a loss because I know the Bears do not have a chance to win this game, but you will never hear me say the sentence where that team in yellow and green wins the game, so I'm just taking my loss.
Okay.
You know what for me? I'm in first place right now. I have some room for error. I'm taking the Bears this
week. Oh my God,
I'm taking the Bears this week because I don't know why. I like Thomas Brown. I like the new culture he's kind of set into this offense, but you know what? I'm not trying to sound like I'm stupid right now on air. I know we're probably going to lose. I know the Packers are better than us, and I know never to trust the Bears, but some small part of me really likes the Bears trying to make a turnaround right now. It's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen, but this would be a nice little win. Like, give me the Bears.
No, but Julian, the people don't know about the first game new coach method. They don't know about that, and it's going to implement this week when the Bears win.
Not head coach, though.
Hey, we didn't talk about coordinators. Maybe that's another trick I have up my sleeve.
I did like what Thomas Brown said this week, though. He was like, we're going to coach them. Like, we're going to coach them as hard as possible. Like, it is not going to be a fun week of practice for them. I kind of enjoyed that, and I'm hoping that, you know, these players buy into it. With that being said, I'm still going with the Packers.
No shame.
I just can't pick, once again, kind of similar to what I've been doing. We're picking against the Bears to hope that they win. Mm-hmm. And I think last week I went with the Bears because I said there's no way they lose to the Patriots. And I was just like, you know what? Yeah, whatever. Who cares? But I said last week, if the Bears end up losing to the Patriots, I will be picking against the Bears for the rest of the season. That holds true. Also, I don't know if the Bears can win another game on their schedule the way that they've been playing.
No chance.
Lauren went with the Packers. Steve went with the Packers. Let's move on to an AFC North battle between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. We were just talking about the Steelers earlier and how they have just continued to find ways to win games, have yet to lose with Russell Wilson at the helm at quarterback. Meanwhile, the Ravens, last Thursday night, put up an absolute show with the Cincinnati Bengals, one of the best games you'll watch all year. It was phenomenal, and the Ravens ended up sneaking it out. Lamar Jackson is easily the MVP favorite right now. He's going for his third. It's insane. Joey, I'll start with you. Who are you leaning with in this one?
So I am going to be leaning towards the Baltimore Ravens. I know we have just done a lot of hype up for the Steelers and the schedule. They've looked a lot better, but let's look at these wins. It's the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Jets, and the Giants, and then a good win against the Commanders. That's not fully convincing me that this team is ready to win the big game, and I just trust the Ravens more. Just they got momentum on their side. Lamar Jackson is just not a real human being, and then they paired him with Derrick Henry as well. So this week I will be rolling with the Ravens.
Yeah, both of these teams just hate each other, so it's really tough to really choose who's going to win this one. But I'm going to lean and say the Ravens just because Lamar Jackson's still fighting for MVP once again. Derrick Henry has had such an amazing season this year, and their defense has been also amazing. So it's really going to be more of a test for Pittsburgh's offense versus the Ravens' defense. So I'm going to take the Ravens this one.
Steve and Lauren both going with the Steelers in this one. We were just hyping up the Steelers, and the two people that aren't on the show took the Steelers because I'm going with all you guys. I'm taking the Ravens. I mean, Lamar has been insane. He's already eclipsed his passing touchdown total from last year, the same season where he won the most valuable player in. Derrick Henry is easily, I would say, maybe besides Saquon Barkley, the offensive player of the year right now. Just that 1-2 punch has been absurd. And the fact that Lamar can still use his legs, but I mean, he's using his arm now. Like, he's throwing the ball all over the field. It's been so impressive to watch. The defense is solid enough. What's the update on Kyle Hamilton? Do we ever hear about that?
I don't think I've heard anything yet.
Okay. I don't know if it was bad or not. It didn't look great the other day. Obviously, that's a huge piece of their defense. But nonetheless, I think they're a much better team than the Steelers are. And I think, you know, other than the Chiefs and Lions, I think you're looking at probably the third best odds to win the big game this year. So we'll end up seeing what happens with the Ravens and Steelers on Sunday as we go to Sunday night, a game between two former top 10 picks in the 2020 NFL draft, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, and the Chargers. The Chargers, the home team in this one, just keep finding ways to win. Jim Harbaugh, who's got it better than us? Nobody, because the Chargers are winning more games than Michigan this year.
Okay.
I know, two different leagues, but still. but yeah. Jim Harbaugh has gone into that system and just found ways to win games with Justin Herbert and a team that I would say probably got worse this offseason, but they've found ways to win games all over the board. Meanwhile, the Bengals, they can't manage to get a win anywhere. I just saw something today that said if one score games were flipped, the Bengals would be 8-1 right now. That's insane. Joe Burrow can't find out a win. Ja'Marr Chase is maybe the best receiver in football, but outside of those two guys, it's not going too hot in Cincinnati. Who are we leaning with here in this one, Joe?
Yeah, we got the battle of the what-if quarterbacks. I mean, Twitter will tell you guys these are the best quarterbacks to ever grace the league, and they don't win games. Or this is how it is. But I feel bad for the Chargers. I want to hype them up real quick because this turnaround they've had is incredible. I thought this team was going to be stinky this year, to say it in a nice way, but they're still here. I got to give them credit. The Chargers have been awesome, but this is the time of the year where the Bengals just turn around and somehow find a way to get into the playoffs. And with it happening year after year, I just cannot bet against it. So I will be picking the Bengals.
Yeah. After watching the last couple of weeks, I really just have thought you really cannot rule this Bengals team out yet. Joe Burrow is still looking great right now. I kind of thought that he was going to have more of an off year off of that wrist injury last year, being out for the season from it. But with having a quarterback like that and having a receiver like Ja'Marr Chase, just those two alone can really get you somewhere. And I know their defense isn't that great itself, but Trey Hendrickson's also been one of the best edges in the league this year as well. So I'm going to take the Bengals in this one just because I feel like their top talent is way better than the Chargers' top talent.
Yeah, I don't think I can fade the Bengals in this one. I think the Chargers' schedule correct me if I'm wrong, were they last place team last year? They might have been.
They might have been.
And that last place schedule is showing. They're getting wins, and credit to them. It's hard to get a win in the National Football League. But I just think that they haven't had the toughest of opponents. I would not be shocked if they pull this one out on Sunday night, but I just have to lean the Bengals. I know this season already seems like it might be out of reach for them to make the playoffs, but once again, the AFC, not the bottom half of the AFC, not that great. This is one of the teams that's at that bottom half of the AFC playoffs right now in the Chargers. So I think the Bengals need to get a win if they want to keep their season alive, because if they don't, it's over for them.
Like, no question.
Right? This thing's over. So Bengals, they need to get a win on Sunday night football. Let's head over to the state of, what do they call it? The Star State? Lone Star State. There we go. I was trying to find it out. A battle on Monday night between the Texans and Cowboys. The Texans still dealing with so many injuries. Can't really find a way to get a win right now. It's been a tough go for them. Obviously, we talked about what happened to them on Sunday night against the Lions. And meanwhile, it could not get worse than anywhere else in the world but Jerry's world. Close the rafters. The sun's in CeeDee Lamb's eyes. Cooper Rush is just horrible. Trey Lance is getting in the game. Dak Prescott out the year. Jerry can't answer questions. Rico Dowdle's the starting running back now. Jerry's world is on fire. might even be worse than the Bears situation right now. No, because that's a team that was expected to win the championship.
Yeah.
Obviously, the quarterback getting hurt doesn't help, but Texans, Cowboys, I feel like we're all going in the same direction in this one.
So sometimes you look forward to watching games to support your team, and sometimes you look forward to watching games just to hate. And for this to happen to Jerry Jones, I could not be happier. That guy has just made mistake after mistake and has treated players terribly. It does not have the best pass in the world. And the Texans, they're going to be pissed after that Lions game. I hope this is like a 35-point victory. I hope it's just a murder on Monday night.
Yeah, to me, this seems like it should be the end of this Cowboys era. They should get rid of Dak. CeeDee Lamb, who knows what they're going to do with him. He's great, but who knows if he even wants to be there because Jerry Jones just sucks. But I'm going to take the Texans just because I really want this team to turn around right now. I want CJ Stroud to really turn into the quarterback we thought he was going to be this year. And, yeah, I'm just going to say all that. Give me the Texans.
I feel like you guys said everything that needed to be said. I said it in my little monologue. I'm going with the Texans. We're all going with the Texans in that one. So let's go to our pick six game of the week. We talked about it earlier. It makes too much sense to not be our pick six game of the week. The Chiefs and the Bills. The Bills just trying to get a win against the Chiefs. It hasn't been since, I think, 2 years ago in the regular season when the Bills last got a win against the Chiefs because they always seem to find them in the playoffs somehow. And meanwhile, the Chiefs, as we said, 9-0, looking to go 17-0, something Tom Brady and his Patriots did all those years ago. They didn't end up winning the big game that year, but still, it doesn't matter. Who are we going with in this one? Probably the game of the week, I would say.
I want to thank you guys, first off, for voting on the WZND Instagram account on this one, because this was, without a doubt, the game of the week. And normally, you should make predictions with your brain. But this time I'm going to go with my heart, and I just want to see Josh Allen get that win so bad and push himself back to that MVP conversation with Lamar, because Josh Allen had such an electric start to the season. I want to see him get that big win, and if the Bills beat the Chiefs, I'll just be a happy camper. I'm riding with the Bills.
Yeah, I'm going to go the exact opposite of you. I'm going to go with my brain instead. I'm going to take the Chiefs because...
You're in first place for a reason.
Yeah, yeah, and I just really... I don't know. Seeing this Chiefs team, I don't like seeing them win all that often, but seeing them go 17-0 would be pretty cool to see, so... I'm going to take them also because Keon Coleman will be out this week, too. That's going to be a really tough receiver to be out for the Bills. So, yeah, give me the Chiefs in this one.
Steve went with the Bills. Lauren went with the Chiefs. It's a toss-up for me. As we said, Josh Allen's been playing phenomenal. If it wasn't for Lamar Jackson, I think he'd be the runaway MVP favorite right now. But, man, there's just something about these Chiefs. They win games no matter what. And did you not predict them earlier to go 17-0?
I said they could hypothetically go 17-0,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about them. It's the voodoo magic. We talked about it. They do have a big loss. Harrison Bucker's out 3 to 4 weeks. Do you guys see that?
That'll be fine.
No.
Be fine.
Hey, that's that's a three-time Super Bowl champion. Either way, we're going with the Chiefs on this one. I'm taking them. And they're going to start this season 10-0. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Red Zone. It's me, Joey, Julian, every single week. We have one more show next week before Thanksgiving break, and then finally our Christmas episode after that. So make sure to stay tuned in every week on the Red Zone at 6 p.m.